So we were talking about how a person who is constantly wanting to get things without working for it, a person who wants matanot, is never gonna really explore, never gonna really enjoy it. And so ne matanot yichya, a person who's really in life, is a person who's integrated with the world, and therefore is a person who wants to work, who wants to be part of, and not just wants to get and wants to receive. Right? Famous joke that I like making because it's not funny is that in Judaism, marriage is all about giving, and marriage ends when you want to get. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's something about this desire of as mutual giving. While a person who only just wants to get, then his life's over. Then he's just getting, right? And that's Shlomo Melech's idea of al tigale ashir binat chachadal. There are things that are beyond you, and you can't always chase them. If you're constantly trying to chase things, trying to get what's beyond you, if it's beyond you right now, then it's not yours, right? And if you're chasing it because it's beyond you, whether it's knowledge, whether it's anything, it's not yours, right? Only things that are yours are things that are coming from within, right? And very much connected to this week's parsha about Hava Naselanu Shem, the people of the Tower of Babel want to make a name for themselves, versus kindly contrasted to Shem, the son of Noach, person who is an emerging name, right? And his name constantly changes throughout Sefer Bereishit, right? He's Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem one time, he's something else another time, right? Because he's a person of names that are emerging versus the people who want to make a name for themselves. Have an asel and shame. Let's make a name for ourselves. Once you're chasing over a name, then you're constantly in a chase and you're not in the moment, not in the experiencing of the right now. The Maral says like this, and we skip to the middle of Perek Gimel. Ha'adam ha'asher hu tamid rodef achar ha'osher, eino lo tisba osher. Kedechtiv gam einav lo tisba osher. Kohelet says, Kohelet, gam einav lo tisba osher. A person who's chasing after wealth, after things that are going to solve his problem, eino lo tisba osher. There's a specific sense of his eye not ever being satisfied. Because your eye constantly wants more, right? The eye is the hollow part in your body, right? It's inside is empty, and it constantly wants to receive light, and it opens up to get more light, and it, right? And at the end of the day, the eye is never satisfied. Today, my mom as a dietitian always says people eat with their eyes, right? People don't eat with their stomach.
Seafood diet.
Right, exactly. Going back to the seafood diet. Right? I see it, I want it, I want to have it, and therefore, it's not about what makes me happy, because, right, it's about what is going to make me satisfied, right? What is going to make me satiated, and a person is not going to be ever satiated unless he is able to do that. And so Chazal say, tzadik ochel asova nafsho, right? Tzadik is eating to satisfy his heart, and that's why it says about root, Barut, Vatisba, Vatochal, Vatotar. The only person ever in Tanakh that it says that they are savea, that they are satiated, because a tzaddik, like Ruth, is able to eat and be full and leave over. Well, while they're contrasted very much by Esav, is a person who's never satisfied, right? He wants more, give me this! And it's only that relationship between the giver and the receiver that creates some sort of something together, right? And it's Esav who can't live in a world where he's constantly tzad, he's constantly gathering and taking and hunting, right? And that's what Chazal say, he's very tired from hunting engaged women. Why is Esav running after women that are engaged? And that's the beauty of it, because when you're engaged, all you are is engaged with each other. There is nothing there. You're not married. You don't have anything. You're just engaged in marriage. And for Esav in the world, how can you ever be, how can engage be anything? Get it, have it, take it. She's your wife, take her. Are you engaged? Well, we're engaged because there's actually that the fact that we're engaged is creating some sort of relationship here. It's actually bringing something out that is much deeper, right? When I am working, I'm not getting paid. I'll get paid at the end of the month. I'm actually now engaged in engaging my salary by my process that I'm working here. For Esav, the world of the taker, the world of the person who's never satisfied, and the engaged girls are the ones that are most empathetical to his reality. So Esav, he has two wives, right? Because if one bothers him, he goes to the other. One bothers him, he goes to the other. He keeps taking, and he doesn't have any energy to be engaged, while Yaakov, his brother, is engaged to Rachel for 7 years. Because the engagement period is exactly all about being engaged. If you're just trying to get there, then you're, that there is never going to come. So if you're trying to be here, then you can get there in a day.
Why is it like, this is kind of a joke, but like in correlation, it's often like very religious people get married soon after they get engaged. So like, what's the rush?
Well,
I'm making a joke, but is there truth to, like, is there something there, like, metaphorically?
I think in a way, we don't know how to be engaged. We don't know how to be engaged without it becoming something bad, right? Why people say get engaged very quickly, because don't take too long getting engaged, because at the end of the day, like, okay, we're already married, so like we might as well cross some lines, right? But if we were really on the level of Yaakov, then we could be engaged for 7 years, and it would be minutes, because that whole engagement period is so fulfilling, right? But we don't know how to be engaged, right? We don't know how to, right? I mean, how many of us are able to enjoy a basketball game knowing the score at the end already, right? It won't be as enjoyable because you're not engaged anymore in the game. You already know the score, right? But there's something about being engaged. And if you're just watching the game to know what the score is, then you can't enjoy the game. If you know the score, if you're watching a rerun. It says like this, V'talaze ba'ayin. Why is the not being satisfied of wealth related to the eye? Mipnei ki ha'ayin ro'a mimizrachat ma'arav, hu mekabel hakol, kasher davak bar chisaron, eino male klal, the eye is able to see great distances. You can see all the way from the east corner to the west corner. You can see the whole plane. You get all the information right away. You're able to look and see, and the information is there instantaneously. But that information fades. Once you close your eyes, you can't see it anymore. But if you walked from somewhere to somewhere, even once you're done walking, that trail, that journey is totally embedded in your life. So the eye is able to instantaneously receive everything. And when you have that lacking, then you're never happy, right? You just want to see it already. Alexander Mukdohon, right? So he's the empathetical person of the receiver. He's Alexander the Great, because Alexander the Great is trying to conquer the world. He's going to take it. And he's on a conquest to take things instead of a president or a person who's elected because he's the right person. There's a person who's the right person, and there's the monarch who's on a conquest to take more and have more and be more instead of trying to grow an empire from within. So Alexander the Great, the Gemara says, is conquering the whole world. He's trying to get everything. He's trying to gather the more he can, right? And he gets to the end of the world. He goes to Gan Eden. Velo patchula. They wouldn't open the gate for him. Right? Conquers the whole world.
Because he skipped the game.
And he's going to Gan Eden and they won't open the door. Velo patchula share Gan Eden. She'amru lo tzadikim yavo bo. This is a place for tzadikim. Ve'amar ana malka chashiva. Chush bena. Havuli midi. He said, "What? But I'm such an important king. How can you not open the gate for me? I conquer the whole world." Havule midi, yahavule gulgolta de'ena. So they say, "Fine. You want to come in? Let's play a game." They give him an eyeball. Give him an eyeball. Havule gulgolta de'ena. They give him an eyeball. Itkale lekule kaspa. Right. So Alexander the Great comes to the entrance of Gan Eden. He wants to come in. They tell him, "You can't come in." He says, "I'm an important king. I want to go in." They can say, "Okay, well, we'll play a game." They give him an eyeball. And they give him a scale. He puts the eyeball on one side of the scale. All the money that he has, all of the conquests that he has done, on the other side. Velo takim. It wouldn't weigh out the eyeball. All the money that Alexander the Great had from conquering the whole world is on a scale with an eyeball, and it can't outweigh the eyeball. Amrule, my high. Amrule, gagalta de ena de basra, vadam de losava. He goes, what's this? What's this all about? They say, this is the eyeball of a human being that is never satisfied. Always wants more. Always wants more. Right? The eyeball, the eye candy, right? The seafood diet, right? The desire to always see more, right?
Can I just want to make a point.
Yeah.
That I think is relevant. I think we both agree that there's a positive aspect to desiring. We talked about this. I mean, this is what the whole point of the shir is, right? There are positive aspects to wanting more and desiring and having goals and working towards greater things that maybe you'll never accomplish. I think the positive twist, something that just occurred to me, is that as much as we're talking about the selfish aspect of desire, I want this, I want more, whatever, I think sometimes the approach that thinks along the lines of how can I make the biggest impact, let's say, you know, how can I make, let's say, the most money so that I can give tzedakah, let's just say for the sake of the example, how, like, so then the person that is thinking that way is saying, how can I make more money? Yes, there is a selfish part of that, but there's also the part that is selfless, which is that the more money he makes, even though he's never going to reach there and his desire is never going to be filled because he wants to give so much tzedakah that no amount of money in the world would ever satisfy his desire or his imagination for how much tzedakah he could give. So there's like that selfless part of it too.
I think it's a very interesting conversation. It's also a very tight line to walk, right? Because when a person, if he really is working to make money in order to give tzedakah, then he can never justify the means for the end, right? The ends don't justify the means, right? So if I can give more tzedakah because I can make more money doing a shady business, that's not fair. How would that help the world? How would God want your tzedakah money if you've attained it in a way that's not good? Right? So the idea here is that it's Alexander the Great who's conquering the whole world to make a name for himself, right? He's called Alexander the Great for a reason. He's the Great. He is the Great. How many people are the Great besides Alexander the Great, right? Because he conquered the whole world. And yet, when he comes to Gan Eden, they're like, no, it's exactly the antithetical part to you, right? The Gan Eden, the emergence of the garden versus the Gei Chinam that we were speaking about last week.
Do you think they're the same? Do you think that like a shady business is the same as like an approach in your mind?
I mean, what if you have to conquer this thing? It's not coming to you because of the way you are, right? Because of who you are, then it's not yours. Right? If you had to cut corners in order to make this work,
right? But in the case of the example, in the case of the tzedakah, it's not. The point is that it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the money that you're giving to other people that's making a difference.
Right, but Robin Hood is not a tzaddik in the Torah, right? Because it doesn't matter that you're giving tzedakah. But the way you have attained it, then this is dirty money. Then this doesn't help anybody.
An approach is the same as stealing? Like a mindset?
No, not the mindset, but if you have the real mindset of that you want to give tzedakah, right, you're going to make sure that every single dollar that you've attained is good, is tahor and kadosh, because there's going to be no prosperity for a person if he's getting dirty money,
right?
So at the end of the day, the story here is about Alexander the Great, who's conquering the whole world, just like Esau, who's constantly conquering things because he can't wait for things to come to him, because he doesn't understand the idea of the journey, right? He can't sit there cooking food, goats, for hours and hours and hours. Anybody who knows that you cook a goat, you want a goat to be good, you have to actually cook it for like a day. Oh, Esav is Mr. Hunter, and in the field eating flesh, just like I found it, that's it. He's a hunter and taker, and he's the kovish, Alexander the Great, he's the conqueror, and he's like the eyeball of a man who's never satisfied. Never satisfied. After I watched, and I make this joke all the time because I think it's so funny that we don't have time to watch movies anymore because they're too long. So we only binge watch, you know, shows for hours and hours and hours and hours. I don't have time to watch a movie.
Even though movies have actually gotten longer.
Exactly.
I remember when the show. The average movie was like an hour and a half. Now they're
Because people, the only time you watch a movie is when you go out to the theater. It's already a whole event. I might as well, you know, make the whole day out of it, right? But I don't have time to watch a movie, so I watch a show. But seven of them, which are outweigh the movie by five, because I binge watch, right? Because I'm never satisfied. Then just the next 5 minutes of the cliffhanger, I keep watching it, right? I'm never satisfied. The more channels I have in my television, the less I watch, because I'm constantly flipping and flipping and flipping. The eye's never satisfied, right? And that's what it is. That's why YouTube is such a successful plane, because people are just watching more and more and more and more and more and more. I'm never saying I want to watch more. And this is the whole idea, is that they're selling, this is all the money in the world doesn't weigh more than the eyeball, because the eyeball is never satisfied. Never satisfied. And then what did they say to him? Amru lehu de'ena de'basra v'dama de'lo sevia. Amru lehu mimai lehachi hu de'lo savi. Amru shkol afra v'le'atar takil. He says, how do you know? Prove it. They say, take some dust, the dust, dirt, cover the eye. Cover the eyeball so it can't see. Boom. The money outweighed the eyeball.
That was luck.
That's crazy.
There's a question about the conquering aspect.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, okay, so then the Jews defeated Amalek. I guess, so could that be considered conquering? And like,
well, according to the Rambam, obviously, according to the Rambam, when we go out to defeat Amalek, we have to ask them first for peace, for shalom, right? There is no idea of conquering for the sake of conquering. It's not a conquest for the sake of conquest.
Okay.
It's an emergence for the sake of relationship. Now, if there is no relationship with certain things, then you have to kill it, right? If you have a cancer, you can't say, well, God gave this gift to me. Who am I to take out the cancer? Well, if it's not working, then it's not working. Right, but the idea of the fact that a person thinks that this, there's a famous joke. These two guys, they meet up. And go, how's your son? I haven't seen him. He goes, he's in America making a second million. Second million. He goes, yeah, because the first he wasn't able to. And all the people that left Israel to make millions in America.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If that's why you came to America, it's not happening. If you're constantly in the conquest, if you think this is going to solve your problem, the next thing, if only I had an iPhone 8, that would solve my problem. I have an iPhone 11, right? Why are people constantly trading in and getting the new iPhone? Because they never needed a phone. They needed a gadget.
So
it's cool and new.
So you're saying, like, conquering is not really like a Jewish aspect?
Oh, for sure. Because the more you're chasing it, the more you're never having it. It's only when you're not chasing it can you actually emerge with it, mm-hmm. right? Everybody knows this. The more you chase a girl, the less she's going to want to be with you, right? It's only when you stop chasing her that there's a potential for a relationship, right? You have to be, you have to engage in something in order for there to be something, a relationship, the emergence of something. That's the whole idea of malchus. That's the whole Garden of Eden. Garden is something that emerges through gardening it, right? Unlike a non-garden, which is just random things growing. But if you want to have a relationship with something, if in a garden, it has to grow. So Alexander the Great, the eye is never satisfied because the eye is not working towards anything. It just sees it. It's there. It appears. The mouth that has to break the food down and engage in it has some sort of satiation, right? The eye, never satisfied. Look all day. All day I can look at everything, right? From one television show to another thing, to looking at this, to looking at that. The eye is never satisfied, right? Perush zeh ki Alexander haya olech v'kovesh kol ha'olam. Lo dai lo bemalchuto shelo shar kovesh kovesh ad she'aya rotze af lichnos gan Eden davar she'eino ra'uy lo. That's a maral, something amazing. What are we talking about? Alexander the Great is going and conquering country after country because having his country is not enough. Then he gets to the Garden of Gan Eden. They're not letting him in. Let me ask you this question: why does Alexander the Great want to go to Gan Eden?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because he wants
to what?
Conquer it.
Conquer it.
Oh. Right?
The most antithetical thing to Gan Eden. How could you conquer the Garden of Eden? The whole idea of the Garden of Eden is that it's a place where you are no longer self. There is no self. There is no ego. Ego only exists outside of Gan Eden. And so if you have an ego, you can't go into Gan Eden. Ego just wants things for free. Then you go to Gehinam. You go to Gehenim. You go to the place of free. You have free things. You have free things for free. I'll give you anything for free. Anything you want for free. But Alexander the Great, he's never satisfied with his. He's always on a conquest to get more and more and more and more. It doesn't matter what I have. It only matters what I don't have. Stop chasing after things that you don't have, because then you're never going to be happy with what you have. You're only going to be focused on what you don't. And he wants to get this. Yaakovesh, af shenor le adam, ubishvil ze amar machshev chushbena ki malka ve'eno ve'lachen ra'uy lavo le Gan Eden. He says, I am an important king, so I can come to Gan Eden. V'vaday ilo haya malchuto karaui, haya malchuto she'ach shem chafetz bo. Really? Alexander the Great, he's thinking truthfully. If I'm a king, then I should be able to go to Gan Eden. Because what's a king's job? In the Jewish, in Judaism, see, the problem with Jews wanting a king was not the problem. They didn't want a king like, they want a king like the goyim. What's a king like a goyim? A top-down guy who says, everybody, pay your taxes, let's go to war, or else. Right? But that's not a king in Judaism. A king in Judaism is a king that emerges from the people, of the people, for the people, that they beg him to be a king. Right? So Rav Kook's idea of why we're anti-politics in theory, because in politics, you have to convince people to vote for you. Right? You think Rav Ovadia Yosef have to convince people to make him the chief rabbi?
It's like the more, but this is exactly the same. Maybe this is your point and I'm just clicking, but it's like the more you want it, the less you get it. So just like to make this personal for me, just, I do like jiu-jitsu and they always talk about how like the more you want the belt, the less, the farther you become from the belt. It's not about the belt. You know, the color of the belt or the next belt. It's about
the belt is a representation right. of your journey.
Right. And the more you're trying to get just the benchmark, exactly. like the measure, exactly. the less exactly. you're
right. So the more you want to be king, the less you're king. You're actually a tyrant. You're a conqueror. You're not a king. You're not a king. The more you don't want to be, right? Right? David HaMelech, who didn't want to be king at all, is the eternal king of the people. Right? Right? But the more you need to be a king, every person who tried to be king, Avshalom, Adonia, they're all gone. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Just like, again, there's obviously a dichotomy to this. Like, sometimes it's, like, good to push for things, and sometimes we have what we're talking about, which is that, like, it's not always good to always be desiring. How do we know in each scenario, are there criteria to look for?
So first of all, the simple answer is, go to the Torah. They're constantly contrasting these people. The Yaakov and Esav, the Yitzchak and Ishmael, the Nimrod and Avram. Constantly contrasting the Moshe and the Paro. This is forever the contrast between the reptile who's trying to get more and eat more and the mammal who's trying to experience. But the simple answer of the Maharal is, are you engaged in something or are you conquering something?
But how do we know when to do which?
You're never conquering. You're never conquering a girl. You're trying to be engaged to her.
Right? You're engaged. The test. You need to get a good grade on a test.
No.
You're studying the test.
No.
You're not going to
see the
let
test.
The test,
like the belt, is a representation of the journey that you've had in studying the material.
Right.
If you want to conquer the test, all you want is the A+. Then you're okay with cheating, and most college students are okay with that.
Yeah.
Because they just want, for sure. That's why America has the highest rate of malpractice amongst doctors, because statistically speaking, one out of every three doctors cheated his way into college, into becoming a doctor, and he doesn't really know what he's doing. But that's fine because we don't really care about it. Things that are being meaningful as long as they look right. And in a way, if you're trying to conquer something, then you're wrong. If you're trying to be engaged in a relationship with something, right? That's the question. If you are engaged with your people, with your constituents, and you're constantly trying to do what they want, right? Like the dream of what politics could have been, that you're trying to be honest to your constituents. But in today's political world, you'll say whatever you want for whatever they want to hear for a vote, and you're going to do whatever you want at the end of the day anyway. But that's what he's saying. I'm a melech hashuv. I'm an important king. Right, but you're a kovish. See, that eyeball? That's you. You cannot be in here because this is antithetical to people like you. This is a garden. It's a place where people are engaged in growth. In something that is taking time. And anybody who ever grew anything in their life, whether it's a cactus or tomatoes, constantly looking every day at this cucumber who's not growing. He's growing. And I can tell you this because I grew peyes. It takes a long time.
But it's also like just a
the, fir- the first year, you just look like an idiot. You look weird.
That's why I never
do that. Right? You just look weird. You just look awkward. And you know what? It takes time. It takes a lot of patience to grow anything, grow kids, right? But are you engaged in your kids' growth, or are they just another notch on your belt?
To go a little further into the example of the tomatoes, it's like the more you look, right? A watch pot never boils. So you could be super engaged, but if you're disguising your desire to measure something by your attentiveness to it, you're also gonna lose, right? It could look from the outside like you're so engaged with the growing of this tomato plant because you check every day, but really deep down you're trying to see like, oh, did it grow another centimeter? Did it grow another centimeter? It's not about growing a centimeter. It's about.
Right. Yeah. That goes back to the fact that we don't farm animals anymore. We grow products. So people feel so estranged from an animal because we're not eating animals. We're eating products. We don't need animals. The person who actually, and actually the farmers who grow the animals have no problem eating them. Because I've grown this animal. I've literally lived with this animal and took care of it so much that it's part of my life. And therefore, when I'm eating it, it's not about me devouring the animal. It's not a conquest. I never raised this animal to be steak. I raised the animal to have an animal. And it's reached an age where right now, that's it. That's its purpose right now. That's it. And it's not people, only those people who are anti, you know, the vegetarians and the vegans have never come in contact with an animal. They don't know what an animal is, right? The first time they ever saw an animal was on a YouTube video of slaughtering animals. So to them, like, oh my God, that's their association. But for a person who grew on a farm, association is like you're a kid and you're playing with lambs. Like that's the most exciting thing to you in your life. And that's the association you have when you're eating it. But it comes back to this, is the eyeball does nothing doesn't work at all to see something. It just glances everywhere, right? And that's why, you know, it's so hard for people to meditate today because like, it's like, close your eyes. Like, I don't know what to do with my eyes. I don't know what to do when I close my eyes. What I do, right?
You can't be by yourself.
And that's why when you know what they're telling Alexander the Great, you know, it's the antithetical to constant conquest of the eyes. Is specifically the dirt that grows everything. The dirt of the Garden of Eden, right? It's the dirt that brings forth the potential for growth that if you put on the eye, all of a sudden the eye doesn't have the strength to outweigh the dirt, to outweigh the gold. But when you're living in a world of Alexander the Great, of constantly conquesting and wanting to make a name for myself, I'm going to be great with conquest, then you can't go into Gan Eden. Because then you're going to go into Gan Eden, and you know what you're going to do in Gan Eden? You're going to also conquer Gan Eden. It's going to be another notch on your list. Now I'm also in Gan Eden. You know, forget about me. You think my greatest achievement was that I was the head of a CEO, head of a company? I'm in Gan Eden. then you're not in Gan Eden at all, right? The road to hell is paved to good intentions. Right? That's the road to hell. Being in Gan Eden is the opposite. It's the place of I don't think I can be here. I don't know. Let me grow in here. Let me see. It's the dirt that is the foundation of everything growing from it, of this whole universe coming from the dirt, and not out of conquest. Right? The difference between harvesting and trying to find mines and getting these in, you know, raping the land of its resources, or reaping what you sow. It's a very, very small line between reaping what you sow and reaping the land, which is very much Judaism's philosophy of Shemitah and Yovel, right? And if you're not sowing, then you can't reap your benefits. Then you're just reaping the land. Then what's the point? Right? Where there is a garden, a Gan Eden reality, a reality where everything's a garden, everything's a field, the energy field and the magnetic field. Is it a field? Or is it just a place where you take? Right? Are you conquering? Are you Esav? Are you Ish Tzayid? Or are you a person of the Sadeh? Where things are just emerging and you're part of this emergence, you're part of this reality that is coming into existence and I'm engaged with it. Or I don't have time to be engaged. I just want it. I want you now. Right? Or am I engaged? טוב, שבי זה אוכל.